Well, it is a joy for me to be again back at Maranatha. We are very delightful to be in the presence of the Lord this week. I want to be mindful of the Lord even this morning to obey God in what God has for us this morning. Turn your Bibles with me today, this morning, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. It's a very, very familiar portion of Scripture, but I pray that God would help us and let not the familiarity of this portion would rob this morning from what God has for us to hear. If you have your Bibles to 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, stand with me in the honor of God's Word and His reading, that we may find what the Scripture says. 1 Samuel 17, we'll not read the whole chapter, but there are many passages that I want to hit this morning, so we'll be jumping here and there, but bear with me this morning as we start from verses 4. Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, from verses 4, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon the head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass." That means 125 pounds. "And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of a brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose ye a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, and then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of a Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. Let's look down to verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he went to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistine had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper, keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Let's go down to 26. And David spake to men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Listen to this 29th verse. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Let's go down to 40th verse. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and a ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou camest to me with staves? And Philistine cursed David by his gods. And Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of thy field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and all the wild beasts of the earth, that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly should know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. What a powerful scripture portion that is before us this morning. Me probably have read this portion and heard many stories and many Bible preaching out of this passage of scripture. But this morning my heart and my being concentrates on that verse of 29 where it says, what have I done now? Is there a cause? Is there not a cause this morning for us to assemble in the house of the Lord in the year of 2020, that the people of God may rejoice and be glad in Him at the victory of God that was paid upon the cross of Calvary, that we should meet and worship Him and know Him, that there is still God that is alive both in Israel and in America, and not only in America, but all that believe Him and His remnant. There is the availability of Him, those who call upon Him and recognize that there is a cause for this hour for us to love and cherish and worship our Savior. Let's bow this morning as we pray. Father, we love Thee. We thank Thee for Your precious Word. God, we believe all of the Scripture, the entirety of it is the inspired Word of God. And we love all of Thy Word this morning. But God, as we concentrate, as we come to the passage here in that 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, we believe that God, Thou has chosen that day in history of Your salvation, that God, You've chosen a man by the name David to stand in the gap for that hour, to be a witness, to be a vessel, to be a champion for Israel and his generation. So God, we pray now for that very quickening power of Thy Spirit and the very power of Thy Word to make alive unto us this morning. We love Thee.
We pray for the anointing from heaven to preach well of your beloved Son amongst us. We pray amongst us that, Lord, yet without Christ, we pray that, God, let this day be a cause in their hearts, in their lives, that they would see the blessed, dear, beloved Lord Jesus Christ and behold him as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now to the saints of God, would you, Lord, feed us, encourage us, exhort us from the Word of God, so that, Lord, we would be able to, Lord, rejoice in thy presence. Let the times of refreshing come upon us this morning is our prayer. We love thee, we honor thee, we exalt thee, we extol our King, that is the Lord of hosts, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Eternal One amongst us. We bless you, we praise you, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. This morning I want to emphasize our hearts and our minds this morning to zero in on that thought that that little young man David has opened his mouth and said, is there not a cause? Young people, we're living in a generation that there are people out there without a purpose, without a cause, without any reality about their lives. There is no seeking in their heart. Exactly like Bible says, all have come short of the glory of God. All have become unprofitable. Everywhere you turn about in this world, you find people without profit, people without cause, people without hope, people without any idea of what's coming in their front, no idea where they're headed, where their nation has headed, where their homes have headed, where their lives have headed. But this morning, I, by the grace of God, want to stand before you and say that there is a cause that you and I need to stand faithful in the time and the hour that God of glory has appointed us for. As Jude writes, he said, let me contend for the faith. Let you contend for the faith that was delivered unto the forefathers, and they kept the faith in their days gone by. So this morning, there is a cause for us to stay faithful, to stay faithful to the Word of God, to the things of God, to the plan and the purpose of God. You may ask me, why would David say such a statement, that is there not a cause? This morning, if you were to look at the people of Israel in that time, I see that there are a few things that are at stake. And I believe in the days of David, when he stood up, Bible says in Acts chapter number 16, I believe it says something like this, David served God, served his generation in the will of God, and then he died and was added to his forefathers in the grave. But this morning it was said about David, David served his generation in the will of God. There was a purpose. There was a plan for God, for the man David. This morning, all that are under the sound of my voice, this morning you and I need to understand, God of glory has a purpose, has a plan for us this morning. We didn't come into this earth just for an accident, just because something happened, just because your mom and dad came together, you just didn't happen for no reason. But thank God this morning, God of glory chose you. God of glory bought you with His precious blood, the silver and gold, and even the vain conversations of your forefathers that never sought to save you. But thank God for that redeeming grace of God and the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary has bought me and bought you. Has set me free, set you free this morning to march as an army of the living God, striving, walking, ongoing, onward Christian soldiers this morning. But there are a few things that I see that were at stake in the people of Israel and the land of Israel. Number one, I believe the people, the gift of God was at stake that time. I believe even forefathers, the patriarchs of Israel, I find when God promised Abraham, when He brought him out of the land of Chaldees, I believe that God said, there is a land that I have prepared. He said, a land of milk and honey, a land of fruitfulness, a land of joy and liberty and freedom, that they could worship this Savior. And thank God the promise was never broken. It was kept. The covenant was kept. Though men failed, though women failed, though boys and girls failed from ages, but by the grace of God, the plan was always set forward. God stood faithful. Though man has sinned and come short of the glory of God, I believe God took in charge. God took initiative, and He took care that all the glory, all the pomp, all the power that is due unto His name belonged unto Him. That's the reason John writes in his book of Revelation, he said, a blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. This morning, I believe with all my heart that God, He said, thus John said, salvation belongs to God who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor, power, and strength be unto our God forever and ever. Friend, nobody tried, though they tried with all their might, to rob God's glory, to bring reproach upon the name of God. But God saw to it that the gates of hell should not prevail against His people in Old Testament Israel. But thank God, He said, I will build my church in the New Testament. And guess what? Many have tried. Many philosophies have tried. Many folk in their ideas and their conspiracies with their hatred toward have tried. But guess what? The verse ends and says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I stand in the 2020 of my generation, and I declare that God is still on the throne. God is still working out His eternal purposes. God's still at work. God's still plowing. God's still digging sin out of people's lives. God's still saving. God's still calling young men. God's still calling young ladies. God's still saving people from the hardest of sin. God's still calling Sauls in India and making them Pauls for the grace of God. God's still saving people from China and other nations. God's still at work in America. And better, you and I better get in the work of God and get settled in our hearts that we be a people of this generation, that there is a cause for us to stand by the grace of God. Amen. Liberty was at stake. Freedom was at stake in the people of Israel time. Goliath, a champion, rose
from his generation, from the enemy. He walks up with the armies of armies to stand in the face of the armies of the living God and Israel. And he said, I defy you as a nation. I defy you as a people of God. I defy your king, Saul. I defy more than your king, the king of your country, the king of your nation, the Lord of hosts, the king of kings. How dare he this morning that we stand and hear such kind of noise raging from our streets and do nothing about it? How dare we sit quietly when the enemy comes where you are blindfolded and robs everything about you and your nation? You just sit quiet and do nothing about it. Is there not a cause this morning? Is there not a cause, young people? You have seen in your own generation already how sin abounds, how the wickedness is raging, how the enemy walks in as of a roaring lion, seeketh, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And we still sit quietly and let the enemy rob the very presence of God and the glory of God out of you and your presence and in your nation and your societies, even in your churches. How sad. How come you let the enemy defy the living God this morning? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause, young people? Is there not a cause for us to stand in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and live a holy, pleasing life unto God as a living sacrifice that he accepts this morning, that he demands out of our life this morning? How come we yield ourselves more to the flesh every day and not yield our beings to the Spirit of the Lord as it was preached all through this week? Still, we lay back. We become lackadaisical. We become very complacent and say, not for me, not today, not this year, not this time. But I tell you, there is a need for this generation. Now is the time. Now is the hour that you and I need to stand for righteousness and for truth's sake.
Amen.
Now is the time.
Not only the land and the gift of God was at stake, the blessing of God, the power and the presence of God was at stake. You see in the transition of that First Samuel, it's interesting. You find, it's a beautiful book. If you ever study, you will love it. You see how the nation of Israel was given from hand to hand. God raised up a Samuel. While even in theocracy, God was still ruling. But in those days, they said, we don't want to hear from God. We want a man to represent us. They moved from theocracy to monocracy, where one man stands. And then you see how from Samuel, how he anoints King Saul, and how he obeyed the Lord for a while, and then he disobeyed the Lord, and how God kicked him out of the scene. And you see David comes on the scene. It's beautiful, young people. Even in the early chapters of this young man, David, if you study, it's interesting how you find a young lad could do all that he could in those young years of his life. If we didn't believe that this morning, I wouldn't be preaching. If we didn't believe that this morning, we wouldn't be meeting young people here. If we didn't believe that this morning, these evenings that man of God has preached, all of it was in vain.
But this morning, with all of our heart and being, we believe that God, if He could use a young David, if He could use a young Nehemiah, a Daniel, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even in those days, if God could pour out His Spirit upon His people, as young as they were, even Samuel, you see the beautiful story how God spoke to Samuel in the young age. We see that even in this generation, I believe with all of my heart that God is still able to speak. God is still able to minister. God is still able to raise up another generation for the glory of God. I believe it with all my heart. That's the reason I want to live a holy, acceptable life unto God. That's the reason the mandate this morning for you is you've got a purpose in your heart like Daniel did. He said, I purpose in my heart that I should not defile my body, myself, with the king's meat and his ungodly food that he presented before Him. How there is any purpose? Is there any purpose in our life this morning? If God saved you, friend, there is a purpose. There is a plan. There is a purpose for you. And that purpose is simple. That is very distinct. And that is to glorify God in your life. God doesn't want you to become a great leader. I don't know about that. He may. But the detail and the immediate request and demand of God in the purpose of God is God wants you to bring glory that is due unto His name in your lifetime, in your generation. I'm the least of all. I don't have to be used by God, but I thank God. God, if He pleases, He may use me. And as long as there's breath in my being, I say, God, I'm going to yield to You. I'm going to listen to what You have for me, Lord. I'm going to wait on You. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the face of God. I want to get in the Word of God, study the Word of God. Be equipped, be prepared for that day. If God uses me, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Him. If God doesn't use me, that's all right. He still gets the glory. He still gets the honor, for He's still God of heaven. Amen. But you and I this morning are promised that God would use us. God's looking for young people. Are you listening to me? This morning, God looking. God is looking. God is waiting. God is observing this morning that any amongst us would yield ourselves. Any amongst us would see the cause of this generation, of this hour, that you and I would get serious about the things of God.
Three things that I want to point out this morning and I'll be done. Number one, there was the purpose for David. Number two, there was preparation for David. And the last thing, there is the provisions that God made for David to fight this Goliath. Number one, purpose. We saw already the purpose. I have to go to the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel and find out what the purpose was. The first verse, it says, And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from the reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. There was a purpose for David right there. I don't know why God would and why God should use any of us this morning. I don't know. Friend, I've studied. I gave myself to studying of the scripture, but I also gave myself to studying of the history of all the nations I can get a hold of.
And I studied God raised from time to time, age to age, people to people, years to years, God raised somebody and they impacted their generation. They impacted their society. They impacted their homes. They impacted their churches. They impacted their nations. Why would God ever do that? I don't know. But God did it. Friend, this morning, if you don't see the cause in your nation, how vile, how wicked that we've become as a nation, if you don't see the desperacy, if you don't see that anguish, that pain, that reality that should drive us this morning to get in the power of God and say, God, if thou usest me, use me, Lord. I want to be available. I want to be a vessel fit for the master's use this morning. There's a plan. God took Saul out of the picture. You see, because of disobedience, just lack of respect to God. If there is a disrespect in your life toward God, God's going to kick you out of the picture. May sound harsh for some of us this morning. How many have we not heard about that God put them aside? God brought them down from their places. God humiliated them. That's the reason I believe Paul writes. He says, I beat my body under subjection that God would not observe me, look at me as a castaway, that I shouldn't be left as a vessel of unhonor and put him aside on a shelf. But this morning there should be an earnest desire that we should beat our body, ourselves under subjection toward God, that God would get our attention, that God would see Christ all over our beings and say, this is the vessel that I want to use. This is the man of God that I want to use. This is the hour that I want to raise him up for this generation. Friend, I believe with all my heart that we need men of God for the next generation. I believe it. I pray for it. I live for it. I breathe for it. That God would somehow get a hold of young people in this generation. Oh, please, Lord, don't let us go without another generation that has no idea of no reality of the power and of the presence of God. And the Word of God has become a void unto them. Thank God this morning the Word of God is not void unto him, for all that he has spoken out of men of God in the ages gone by, it's still being preached. It's still being contended, even in this generation. I pray that some of these young people will get the hold of that mantle of that previous generation, touch of God, the anointing and the presence of God and the power of His Spirit, and understand what faith is all about, and walk as an army that is fit for master's use. There's a plan, purpose for your life. Settle in your heart. God is looking. I also says God's looking for worshipers that worship him in his spirit and in truth. Friend, if you as a child of God know not of the truth and the spirit of God, I don't think you're living up to God's riches that he has accomplished and given to you by the grace and through the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. Friend, this morning we need to settle in our hearts that God would get a hold of us and carry us another distance. Not only the purpose of God I see in the life of David, I see a preparation of David.
Number one, I see the ancestry of David. This story didn't start with David, nor his dad, Jesse. I think it goes even back to the book of Ruth. When you study the book of Ruth, you see a heathen, a Moabite woman. God took her under the wing, under his wings. And he took care of her. He provided her a near kinsman by the name Boaz. Bible says she happed in the field of Boaz. I don't know this morning about you, but my soul rejoices this morning. Thank God for the day that I happen to be under the sound of somebody that cared, that shared the riches of God's glory to me, that they shared the truth of the gospel, that they shared the mystery of the gospel to me, that it was revealed unto me that my sin was nailed upon the cross of Calvary. Thank God there's an ancestry that we see in the life of David. God protected. God had a plan even before David was ever born this morning. God has a plan even before you and your parents were born. I tell you about myself. I come from a land of 33 million gods and goddesses. 33 million gods and goddesses. There are probably 960 million people that worship these idols. Did you get that number? 960 million people that follow the wrong ideology, concept of even God is, and who he is, and what he can do, and what he's done. And they just tap Christ in one of them, and they worship him just like just in any other god. But I tell you, out of that darkness, out of that heathenism, out of that devil dwelling place, God sought a preacher. God sent a man of God my way. Thank God I happened up in the field of God, in the field of grace, and I heard the gospel of Christ preached in my hearing, and there came the power of God down, and the word of God made alive unto myself and my being. Thank God God saved me. And I tell you, it's not the first time God saved me. And he saved my mom and daddy. He saved their mom and daddy. He saved their mom and daddy for about 8th generation. Thank God there is a generation. There is a place and a people and a remnant of God. God kept preserved. Friend, the reason you're sitting here is because God saved somebody in your home. God sent the very gospel of grace somewhere in your home. That's the reason you've been brought and put under the sound preaching of the word of God. There's a good ancestry, good heritage that you have. You might say, oh no, I don't have any good parents, any good mom and daddy, great grandparents. But I tell you what, you may not have a physical grandparent, father, mother. I tell you this morning, God of heaven is your father, can become your father. And friend, he has become your father. If you trust in his beloved son this morning and cling to the cross of Calvary and say, I want you, Lord, in my life. I want you as a mother. And I want you as a father to my being in my life. God can do that. God has done it for many. Many countries that I see that there were no heritage, no ancestry. Some boy, some young girl, somewhere in the fields, back of the fields, back of the woodshed. Nothing, they didn't have two bennies to rub to find their riches. Nothing to feed themselves. No pomp, no glory, no education, nothing whatsoever. But thank God, God's gospel went there. The God
gospel of grace was preached in their hearing. They understood and they learned of this marvelous gospel of Christ. And they come under the sound preaching somewhere and God saves them. God adds them to the kingdom of God and uses them, turns their trajectory for the glory and the grace of God in their generation. Is there not a cause this morning as you sit down and hear these kind of words and this kind of preaching this week we had and just walk away from it? Just turn a deaf ear to it. Just harden your heart this morning and shut your eyes and say, no, God, for me, not today, not this morning, not this kind of conviction that I want. Is there not a cause?
Not only ancestry that was started by Ruth, Boaz, and down to Jesse and David. I see an assignment. Oh man, this boy was prepared even before he went to the battlefield in the field of sheep. Number one, he's a protector. He protected those sheep. He guarded those sheep all of his life when bears, when lions came around. We have many bears and lions in our country. We dare not go. But this man did. He did. He took the lives of those sheep very carefully, very seriously. He protected them one after another. He provided for them. How about it? This generation has no understanding of protection. Has no understanding of providing. Not talking about physical provisions. I'm talking about spiritual protection and provisions. How do you provide, protect your families and your homes? By the Word of God. By the standard that was raised for us before. Same standard. Where are men that pray in the Holy Ghost? Where are men that keep themselves in the love of God, that build themselves in the most holy faith? I see many in this country, instead of protecting, they've destroyed. They've destroyed the testament and the testimony of this nation. They've robbed the entirety of this nation when it in itself. You don't need any more terrorists in your country. You know what happened? You've developed a nation and a generation of terrorists in your own nation that they've started robbing from north to south. They came and fell on the streets, destroying everything that was of God and His presence and His power and the men of God and their statues and their convictions and their reality. All of it's been robbed. Destroyed. You see in the news and you know what's going on. All of it's been destroyed. No more protection. People have stopped providing for their families. Stop providing for the next generation. We've become selfish generation. We've become so self-minded that we only think about ourselves, feeding our own flesh, being joy and merriest in our own beings and our what we've gotten. We want to earn more and more and accumulate for ourselves, but never to reach out and provide for the next generation. I see many of the pulpits have been robbed of providing the good gospel and the sound doctrine to the next generation. Many have become, like Paul said, a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. This morning I tell you, flee from them, run from them, run to the refuge, run to the great protector this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ, that He gave His beloved Son to protect us, to carry us as a great shepherd, as a good shepherd for us this morning. Not only a shepherd boy that I see in the assignment, but I see anointing.
God said to Samuel, go down. Why do you mourn? Go down. Fill your horn and take down that oil to that guy by the name Jesse, the Bethlehemite, the man from Bethlehem. I said, I've got a son prepared for us. This morning, I also remember the story where Abraham took his dear son up on that mountain to sacrifice unto God. And I see that where Isaac, little boy, young man Isaac, he said, Dad, where is the offering, the sheep? You know what? Abraham said, there he is. God provided it. God prepared. This morning, God has prepared a way for us. God has prepared a path for us. The old paths have been read, declared, written, given to you in your own language, in your own tongue, that you can read, that you can study, that you can make sure that your faith is built upon it. But a lot of people want to buy 3-4 Bibles and put it in one in a car, in a bathroom, in other places, but hardly ever open it to read, hardly ever search the scripture and say, if there be of God. I like where John writes in his book. He says, search scripture thoroughly, he said. He said, do an investigation. Yeah. When was the last time you investigated the Word of God? A lot of people want to do investigation of the world and the system of the world that attracts them. But when was the last time you opened the Word of God and investigated and said, yes, this gospel, this truth, not only was Paul's, not only was Jesus Christ, but it was mine, my gospel, he said. This Word of God is mine. For me, it's written for my generation that I could protect and provide my people and my nation from this Word of God. No conviction, no reality.
Oh God, anointed David. It's interesting in the Old Testament economy when you study about all the men being filled by the Holy Ghost. To Samson and others, the Spirit of God comes in. And then it goes away for that hour. But it was interesting when you read the scripture, it said something like this. In the 16th chapter and 13th verse, it said, 1 Samuel 16:13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Thank God the day the Holy Ghost of God came upon David. Friend, we need to be a people that are known by the Holy Ghost. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. I tell you, we need to also not to be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Friend, he is a person. We've learned this week how effective office that he has. That he birthed us into the family of God. That he has given us the spiritual gifts. That he is our preserver. That he sealed us unto the day of redemption. He is the one, the great persevere that's in us, that makes you want to keep on and keep on keeping on. Thank God this morning, the day that David understood the reality of the God of glory and his Spirit being in him, that enabled him, that gave him the ability to perform what he could perform in the day of Goliath. Where is men that are known for their anointing of the Holy Ghost? Where are the women that are known for the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this generation? I'm saddened for the day that I've learned that I called myself as a child of God, and yet without the understanding of the Spirit and the reality thereof,
God had to humble me. God had to throw me off my high horse. He made me lowly and meek, that he had to show me that he and his spirit is all sufficiency of my being. And thank God this morning we should be known as the people of the Word of God, and also the people of the Spirit of God. Discerning, spirit understanding, spirit filled, spirit controlled, spirit dwelling. We've read even these days, the evidence of being spirit filled is being filled by the Word of God. Amen. You call yourself a spirit filled person? Where is the Word of God? Is the Word of God dripping all of you this morning? Is the Word of God controlling you? Is there anything other than the Word of God that you desire? Is there anything other than the Spirit of God that you desire? Is there anything other than the will of God that you want to stand in this generation? Everything will fail you. All the armies of the world, all the tacticals, all the instruments of the world, all the isms and the schisms of the world will fail you. But I tell you this morning, not to the strong is the battle, not to the quick is the array, but to the true, to the Word, and faithful to the Holy Ghost. Victory is promised this morning through grace. Hallelujah. I see not only anointing there, but I see abandonment. Oh, they said, he's the youngest. He's the youngest of all. He's a little kid. What does he know? I see a lot of kids here, but friend, I see a mighty host right here amongst us. If you can ever see that reality, if you can ever gird your loins this morning, if you ever come to that reality of desperacy and see that what you can become for God in your generation, oh man, it should surprise this world and say that there is a God not only in Israel, but also in America, but also in Pennsylvania, but also in Georgia, but also in places where you come from this morning. There should be a witness. There should be a testament. You shouldn't be abandoned. You should be abandoned to the world and the system of the world and the things of the world, but you should never be abandoned from this Word and the Spirit of God and in prayer. Jesus was abandoned. Think about it. 33 and a half years that he lived upon the face of earth. Man, in the first many days, men by the bunches, by the clusters of them, they ran behind him. They were impressed, enticed of what he was teaching and what he was preaching, how he was proving himself as God by performing miracles. And he was there to see many come to know the truth of salvation. But thank God we see even the disciples, many of them came in, but drastically I see as he progressed his life in ministry, many have abandoned him. Many went away. Many, when he didn't seek him anymore, stopped sought him, stopped worshiping him, stopped coming, falling behind him because of the truth, because of the conviction, because of the reality, because of sin, because of righteousness that we see that he preached all the time. People drastically, number-wise, have abandoned himself. Friend, we also see at the end of his life, even at the day where he was in the garden weeping for us, right before he got upon the cross of Calvary, those 11 disciples that he took, we see men have fell asleep where Christ said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see how people abandon themselves from God. Christ has become lowly, singer. And we also see the next day when they put him upon the cross of Calvary, we see those disciples have fled their ways. We see Christ upon the Calvary. We see God of glory even turn himself behind back toward him, that he said, leave, Lord, 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 why have thou forsaken me? We see an abandonment for gospel's sake, for truth's sake. Many will abandon us. Many churches are not filled where they preach the truth because people don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear preaching on sin and conviction, repentance, justification, righteousness, practicality of holiness, and all that involves thereof of truth. And people abandon us. People leave us. Families leave us. Folks leave us. Friends abandon us, run away. But thank God, though he was above the cross of Calvary, he drank the bitter cup for us. He drank it all for us. He bore the wrath of God for us. And he said, it is accomplished. Thank God, there will be a day all things will become unto his record. All things will come unto his eyes, that he will try him and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This morning, I desire that I would die by serving God in the will of him, and die by saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Friends, I want you to die in your generation with the testimony that you fought a good faith, you kept the faith, you contended for the faith, and you died in the will of God. That's God's requirement of our lives upon this earth and the ministry thereof. You see how people abandoned David. He was all by himself, the back of the desert, attending sheep. That takes me to the story of Moses. Am I out of time, brother? I know I am. Sorry about that. But I'm on a hurry. Moses in the back of the desert, you see how God met him by the burning bush. You see how the Lord in the back of the desert met this man Moses and commissioned him to go deliver the people of Israel. You may be all by yourself somewhere unknown. It's all right. As long as you be faithful. As long as you mind yourself by the word of God and the things of God, God's going to help you. Friend, I believe in remnant. Remnant is not really big. When you think about remnant, there's a very small group of people, but they're scattered all over the world. This morning, God sent his beloved son to die for the remnant. And that remnant is all over the world this morning. All over the world. The day will come, all from every nation, every kindred, every tribe and tongue will assemble before God of glory. When he sees the remnant, the true church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the chaste virgin. Thank God, that'll be a day that you can say, thank God for his remnant. And thank God for using you for that remnant. All of America is not of the Lord. All of Israel was not of the Lord. All of the church is not of the Lord, only true remnant. But not only the abandonment, and the last thing I want to point out is the advancement. Then he advanced into the battlefield. God took him in to the battlefield. Before you go to the battlefield, you must go to the Bible field first. You need to go to the Holy Ghost field. You need to get in the prayer closet, prepare yourself, and God's going to do the provision. God gave David the faith to fight a good fight.
You know what? God gave him faith, the faith necessary to fight the battle for that hour. Interesting. I mean, you see the courage of David. This is what he says. He said, I will go. I will fight. God is able this morning. God is able to restore all that has been lost, all that has been robbed, all that has been dismantled, all that has been defeated. Thank God, God has the ability and the power and the willingness to restore, to save, to call, to regenerate. Thank God this morning, Father, under the sound of my voice, with all of my being, I believe God is able, God is worthy, God is willing this morning to do exceedingly above that we can ask and think in our lifetime. If David didn't go with faith, friend, that day would be a dark day for the people of Israel. Darkest hour. You know what they would have done? People of Philistines would have fell all across the land of Israel and destroy, corrupt, pollute, loot everything of Israel. You know what? If today the wicked have the day in your country, they will loot everything of God and His power and the truth thereof and make you dismantled. You won't have any liberty, no freedom to worship. You come to my nation. My nation is called as missionary-free country. No more missionaries allowed. No more gospel preaching. No more evangelistic outreaches. In fact, no more churches can be built. You have to get proper authorization. That you have to submit every Sunday your outline to the government. And the government goes through your outline and tells you what to preach, what not to preach. If that's kind of a government we've got, guess what's coming to your nation? And guess what has come into your nation already? And you blinded. You have sitting quiet, complacent, back, laying back, relaxing. But I tell you this morning, David stood up with faith that was necessary that hour. Friend, if you can stand this morning, God will give you faith, courage, necessary for the hour that is due in before our eyes. Is there not a cause this morning? Not only the faith necessary, faith reacts. He said, there is a cause, friend. He said, there is a cause for me to stand. Friend, there is a cause this morning for me to stand before you with all earnestness, with all sincerity, with all meekness, that I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you. Join with me. Join alongside with me. Let's fight the good fight of faith and see the God of glory gets the honor and praise that is due unto His name today and tomorrow. And for the day that God is going to come back to receive us, let Him get the glory. Not only faith necessary reacts, but also faith is resolved. He said in the 32 verse, He said, let no man's heart fail. He said, I'll go fight. Friend, we got to get in action this morning. We can't just sit back and say, oh, what can I do? What must I do? I tell you what, this morning, the thing that you can do this morning that is you're responsible for is to repent and believe. Friend, what causes people to become lack of faith? Because they have stopped following in the ways of God, that have stopped repenting, that have stopped consistency of life that is willing and to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. This morning, you may say, I may have repented one day or time or two. But friend, there should be a progressive repentance, that you repent all the way into heaven. If you believe this morning that Jesus is able, you got to believe all the way into heaven that He's able to perform the work that He has accomplished in the days gone by. That's the reason we still believe in revival and pray and preach for it. You know why? Because God
God has done in the past, and we're going to see to it that God will get our attention again in this generation by the humble spirits of men and women bound up and meek with meekness, with lowliness, pray and ask God to revive us, God to restore us, God to give us a heart of repentance and remorse, that we would come back under His wings is our prayer. Not only the faith resolved, but also faith remembers. He said, Lord, that delivered me in the days gone by from the lion and the bear hands. He said, He will deliver me again. Friend, God is God. And you are not, and I am not this morning. Friend, what God can do through us is beyond imagination. It is mind-boggling. This morning, you cannot limit God, friends. This morning, young people, listen to me. I don't care who comes to you, what they tell you about the little they know about the Lord, never fall for it, because God is a God that has proved Himself as big as possible. He is high as possible. His love, His mercy, His grace, His understanding is it beyond man's conscious imagination. You cannot limit God. He said, I remember the day that you saved me. Now you're going to save me, Lord. That's the reason He says, I go in the name of the Lord. This morning, are we going in the name of the Lord God? Are we going in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we going in the power of the Holy Ghost of God? He didn't take any Saul's armor. He didn't need any. He took only 5 pebbles. He needed only one. Some people say the fire speaks of grace. Well, praise God, but I don't know if in his time he understood all the numerical understanding. But I'll tell you what. He still had 4 more stones left. I guess he was ready to see 4 more Goliaths, if they had any, to kill that day. Friend, time after time, your nation's been raged and raped with different ideologies, evil doings, doctrines of devils have been come from time to time. People have started giving themselves to each and ears, seducing spirits. That's worse. That's what's happening. End times, last times. But thank God, we need 4 more. We got 4 more rocks this morning to kick and drive them out of your country, in your homes, in your nation, and in your church. I'm done this morning, but the last thing I want to point out to you is, not only he defeated that day Goliath, but in the days to come, God set a foundation for him that for the future victories. You see, in the 28th chapter, I believe, the time comes in his life, David. He was, again, in the battle. He couldn't find anything else where he was fighting. They said, somebody said, hey, there's nothing for you to fight. There's no armor. There's no weapon for you. But there remaineth a Goliath, the sword of the Goliath. Would you want it? I'm just paraphrasing it. But for time's sake, he said, you know what? He said, get me it. There's nothing like it. He said, I'm going to use that same sword. I cut the head of Goliath in that day. I'm going to use the same sword that God delivered Goliath into my hands, to take that very sword and strike the enemy in the days to come. Friend, is this thing not worth it this morning? Is this not the cause? Is this not the way of God that God has given us through His means, that we should take this, hold it closer to our being, and believe it, trust it, read it, apply it, make it ourselves, that we should fight the victory that from the victory that was won at the Calvary, we fight from victory to victory with this word of God, triumphing in the days to come, and until the last breath you have, friend, you gotta fight with the sword of faith that was left for us, that was given for us to contend for. Amen. Amen. Is there not a cause this morning? Is there not a cause, brother? Thank you.